What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to The Good, The Bad and The Stupid. It's Monday, the 28th of September. Hope you've had a great weekend. How did you get on with the new drinking laws, having to get kicked out of the pubs at 10 o'clock? Everyone, it was mayhem. It was chaos. They're trying to change it now, aren't they? Because everybody got kicked out all at the same time, and then everybody's out in the street going to the off-license, buying loads of vodka and buying loads of... You fucking could have wrote this and told you exactly what was going to happen. They're all pissing in the street, grabbing bottles of cider, drinking in the street, going to parties. The whole streets were just packed with people, all in the parks. Because they're already pissed, they're just getting in the mood. I told you what you had to do. You had to drink early on a Friday so that by 10 o'clock comes, you're paralytic and all you want to do is go home. But these people just, they just got to the point. They probably got in there at 8:30 and they're like, right now we're just starting to feel it. Starting to feel like we're having a good time. Next thing you know, you're fucking booted out in the most coronavirus, heavy situation, because you're all crowded in the streets in taxi ranks and all that shit. So, not ideal. They need some other fucking system than that. Maybe they just need to just have, everybody can have a token. You can go into that pub at that time. You're allowed in that pub between 8 and 9, and then you can go over to that pub between 10 and 11. And let everybody have like some time in each pub and let them move along. Obviously, you've got to book in advance so that they could have numbers, a certain amount of numbers that are in the pubs. And then it keeps the numbers down and everybody can stay out and they just move every hour to a different pub. Tell you what, get me in, get the scientific advisors, get them to give me a call, give me a ring on the jungle drums, or give me a shout like Rocky out the big window. You know, Rocky, when he's shouting out the window, or the Italians do in New York, in Brooklyn and stuff. Give me a shout, I'll listen, I'll hear you, and I'll come down and tell you how to fucking fix this thing. Or at least how to do it without causing fucking chaos on the street like that. I mean, it's better off if they were left open, wouldn't it, and everyone stagger out. Everyone staggers out anyway. But you get the gist. Anyway, aliens, back onto aliens. Aliens, life on Venus. It's apparently not life on Venus now. Another expert, this is the thing, isn't it? Everybody's an expert in different situations. Now, another expert in asteroids has come on board and said that he thinks an asteroid blew up and transported... An asteroid hit the Earth, or meteor hit the Earth, was it? Microbes were scooped up by an asteroid and transported there, basically. So a fireball, what's it called? A meteor blasted through the Earth in Australia, sent microbes and a big fireball up into the space. An asteroid picked up some of the microbes, like fleas, and then took it to Venus. I mean, that's a fucking long shot. Literally a long shot. It's like a sling in the microbes, isn't it? But it's a long shot, and it's interesting. It's an interesting theory. It's a theory, isn't it? But it very much could have happened. I've seen the way shit moves around the South Pacific or around the Earth, where, like, you know, where you've got like animals that are in, or is it Hawaii, South Pacific, and there's animals that are out from Australia or wherever they may be, they're native to something, but they're like thousands of miles over there. And it's because they ended up on something that was floating in the sea and ended up in a totally random place. Like crabs and shit like that, and they end up in some random place that they don't belong. And that's how it happens. So it can happen in space as well, couldn't it? So I wonder if there's any people up there or that have absolutely accidentally got flung from up here. No, there isn't, because that wouldn't happen. It wouldn't work. Not with the atmosphere. Not unless you can hold your breath. You Guinness Book of Record world breath holding champion until you reached a place that had, had some air that you could breathe. But no, but apparently aliens do behave like you humans, according to another guy. Aliens could behave just like humans. Could, again, it's a theory, but I like the idea, I like thinking about it. But if that means that means they breathe like us, must be, unless they got like some mad gills on the back of their neck or something, that they breathe the non-atmosphere that we can't breathe, or whatever, no oxygen, they don't need oxygen and whatnot. But apparently they've got a left and a right side. Of course they have. Otherwise they're not 3D. Otherwise they're just fucking flat, aren't they? They're just a piece of paper, man. With like no, they're just front to back, no left to right. Come on. That's just a drawing. So yeah, so apparently there's they're going to be, they're just like humans. They need to eat, and they need to find ways to cope with the fact that other aliens are going to try and eat them. Well, we don't have to do that, do we? Well, we do. We do if we're in fucking Darwin in Australia, dipping your legs in a crocodile-infested waters. Yes, you do. So I guess we do, even though we are the top of the chain. Top of the chain, where there's no lions and all that kind of shit around. I don't think we are top of the chain, are we? We can obviously beat the lions, but are we the top of the chain if you come down to eating animals? We kind of are, in the sense that we would win over lions and tigers and anything that wanted to eat you, because you got fucking guns and shit. But if you're alone with a lion and he's hungry and you're hungry, I can tell you now, you are not going to be eating the lion, that's for sure. And you're going to be fucking screaming your head off, wishing you hadn't said that you could and you would, because you're going to lose that bet 100%. And you want to make sure, if you are having that bet with anybody, they want to make sure they get the money off you first, because you ain't going to be giving them anything, because you're going to be dead, and all that's going to be left of you is your head, your big stupid head, because the lion won't want to eat that. That's what happened with the lion fucking killers, the wankers, the poachers, or the whatever you call them, that go to Africa to shoot the lions. And one guy got eaten, and he got eaten from the fucking neck down. They eat every part of him, apart from his head. They left his skeleton, obviously, and there was just his head left, because obviously they didn't want to eat his fucking shit for brains. And even the lion's like sniffing it again, nah, this fucking idiot. I ain't eating that. It's full of shit. And I'm glad that I eat him. I'm glad that I ate him now, because I was feeling sorry for him as I was chomping him up. But now that I've smelt that fucking shit in his head, I'm fucking realise he was out to kill us. Anyway, that's the lion thinking, that is. Anyway, Margaret Thatcher saved Shiwadi Wadi, apparently. Shiwadi Wadi was saved by Margaret Thatcher. That's another statement. A bold statement, and it's very tenuous as well, because one of the manager, I think it is, from, or one of the band members, said that they were going to leave the UK because of the tax rate, 70p tax rate. Was it? No, 70p was it? The high tax rate, anyway. They were in the top. Shiwadi Wadi, most people don't even know the fuck they are, do they? I mean, I was just about around when they were going, but I only remember a couple of songs. But they were doing that well. They were in the top percent, the top tax bracket, the very high one. That's how much money they were making. And they're like proper cheesy. Ever seen them? Look at the name, Shiwadi Wadi. Proper 1970s. But anyway, Margaret Thatcher came into power and changed the tax rate. Otherwise, they were going to move to a tax haven. Can you imagine that? Fucking Shiwadi Wadi living in Monaco, walking around with the big platform shoes on and the funky. They look like basically Ronald McDonald clothes. That's what they used to wear. All like the kind of teddy boy, very colourful clothing, let's put it that way. So they would have been new money in Monaco. They would have been frowned upon, all the yachtsmen, all the fucking rich billionaires with their yachts. I'd love to go down there and fucking play up. That's where you want to go and release everybody out onto the street. Get everybody down on a holiday, cheap holiday from England. Get all the British pissheads. Just find a place in Monaco that will sell. Or if you ever get rich, open a bar in Monaco that's cheap as chips, really cheap, hotel, and get all the Brits over there playing up and getting pissed and throwing up and doing all that. And just really annoy all the rich people, because they're just like, it's got to be so boring, that Monaco. I mean, those rich people, talk the way when they're talking to each other, it's got to be so fucking boring. I couldn't imagine it. Talking about what they've got and what you've got and what you're going to get next and where you got it from and how much you've got and where you got, where what's your best investment. It'd be like, oh my, yawn. Ooh. Just give me the money. Or I'd rather like steal the idea of whatever they've got, over-listen to the conversation and go make the money and go back to where I come from and keep away from those people. I imagine it's quite catching, and you'll end up finding yourself becoming one of them. And that is something I would never want to be. A lottery winner. Again, put a lottery winner in there. Take a lottery winner, dump him in Monaco with all the rich fucking billionaires who've had it forever. They would hate him. They would rub their nose right up, but it'd be good if he was an arrogant, narcissistic fucking idiot like Donald Trump, for instance, who's won the lottery. I mean, Donald Trump pretty much won the lottery because he inherited it anyway, didn't he? But that's as good as winning the lottery. He didn't win the lottery. He was just fucking always born it. But when he got handed over, that's even more money than what he was brought up with. But someone winning the lottery from a council estate, bang, put him in the, give him a yacht, stick him in Monaco. Because the conversation would be all one way. They'd start going, yeah, I've got this, I've got that, I've been there, done that. What about you? Oh, I won the lottery last Wednesday. Before that, I've got nothing in common to talk to you about. Anyway, rats are eating pet tortoises. If you've got a pet tortoise and you live in, where are they living? Tortoiseville, London. Is it Glamorgan? I don't know where they are. They're somewhere in the country. Hampshire tortoise. They're talking about Glamorgan. They're talking about Hampshire. Tortoises all around the world, all around the country are at risk. Wherever there's rats, they're eating your tortoises. So they're not even just satisfied with all the shit that people throw in, all the food that people are wasting and chucking out and running around the sewers. They're eating people's pet tortoises alive. And that's a shame because a tortoise can't scream for its life. It can't tell you when it's in trouble. It's just going to be a goner. Shame. I saw a tortoise, and they're not, I always thought tortoises are just slow and a bit boring, and they just do their own thing, don't they? They're not really involved with anything. They're not really sort of, you know, they're not really up for showing you too much affection in that, are they? They just give them a lettuce leaf. They're happy. That's it. That's a tortoise. His happy life. But I saw one on the, someone put a Facebook video, and one's playing football with a dog. He's pushing a football around. The dog pushed the football away from the tortoise, and the tortoise runs after the football and plays with it, and the dog's knocking it, and the tortoise is doing the same. At first I thought it was a one-off and it was a fluke, but the ball was going left, right, from this way and that way, and the tortoise was going for it every single time. I think he was trying to shag it. He must have been. He must have thought it was a big, round, sexy tortoise lady, and he was trying to chase it, and it must have been mating, or maybe the person who made the video sprayed some fucking female tortoise genitalia on the ball or something, but it, clever video work if you did. Anyway, what's this one? Researchers have discovered the perfect flirting face. So you know that when a woman's, or when a man, is a woman, I think, when somebody turns their head to one side and tilted down with a slight smile and their eyes turned downward, the target. Either that or they're having a fucking stroke while they're eating you. So, while you're on the date. So just double check that it is a flirt signal. You know, if their mouth droops to the side as well at the time they're tilting their head and smile, and that smile might be the mouth tilting to the, you know, what's it called? Leaning to the side or whatever it is. So be careful out there, because that's for the older generation, obviously. If you're in the dating in the 60s, 70s bracket, perhaps, or whatever you know, the target stroke age group, or the most at risk. If somebody's giving you a flirting signal, just double check, or call 999 and just ask them first. Go to the toilet, so back in a minute, call 999 and say, she, you know, gave me a wink, a red tilt to the side with a bit of a smile that was a bit to the left. Do you think she's got a stroke? Do you think you should send an ambulance? Anyway, let's move on to anybody listening in that age group. I do apologise. People get strokes of all ages, so you don't have to just be all the oldies. What's it called? Dan Brown. Anybody who bought the Da Vinci Code? I never read that, the Da Vinci Code. I watched the film. Confused the shit out of me, that did. But the Da Vinci Code was meant to be a good book, or was a book that everybody bought. I don't know if everybody thought it was good. I thought it went to number one because everybody thought it was good. It turns out, well, it says here that Dan Brown, the author, claims that loads of people bought his book because he had had multiple affairs, or claims that he had had multiple affairs, and everyone was buying him because they found him boring before, and then they thought, oh, maybe there's something about him. So they bought his book, and I don't even know if it's true. Did he have the affairs? He said, I hope this doesn't impact... I'll get it. I'll be... What does he say? Anyway, I don't know what it says, but they've basically been saying something about his sordid affairs. So that encouraged people to go out and buy his books. Shame. I mean, shame. It's crazy, isn't it? How you can trigger the public with a little thing. People are fucking jump onto anything like this toilet roll shit. They're going out and they're stripping the fucking shelves of toilet roll again. Just from like one thing about the coronavirus is picking up again. Toilet roll fucking purchasing is picking up again. The people are just, you've only got to come out with something. That's why people are manipulated by the news and by the press and by the fucking propaganda. Everybody is so gullible. It's untrue. I mean, we all are. We don't even know we are. I do. I've, the thing, everything you do is predominated or reflection of what you've been listening to or what you've been, most time anyway, unless you're fucking right on guard, you know, and you're like super conspiracy guy and you're like Mr. Paranoid, tin foil on your head and all that. If you switch off for a little bit, you next thing you know, you're duped by your adverts and everything. You see something, and next thing you know, you're off to Tunisia, cheap holiday or whatever. You don't realise you saw it on some Facebook mini advert or whatever about some hotel in Tunisia. You don't know where it's come from. So yeah, or maybe you're off to what's it called? Off to see the wizard. I don't know what I'm talking about there. I've lost my train of thought on that one, but you get the idea. Darren Brown showed it. Darren Brown has done it on his shows. But it has people walking in a certain way, and he shows them lots of stuff along the way. Next thing you know, you ask them to draw something or do something or other, and they draw something over the things of what he showed them on in the taxi ride or whatever they've seen on the way to the place. And he had them good, well and truly. So that's how your money gets taken off you by all the advertisers. That's it now. I'm just going to buy myself one jumper, one pair of cheap jeans, one woolly jumper, and that's all I'm going to wear. I'm not buying any fashion. I'm not watching any telly. I'm staying away from the news. This podcast, it's over, I'm afraid. I'm cutting it off. I can't read the news. I'm too easily influenced. I'm gullible. I'm not. I'm lying. I can't. Where would I be without you in this podcast? Not fucking very far, I tell you. I'd have nothing else to do at this time of the day. Anyway, last one I'm going to do. Boiling water should not be used to make a cup of tea. They reckon it should be cooled to 80 degrees or the tea will be no better than cabbage water. Who the fuck said that? Is he joking me or what? I've been making tea my whole life and I find myself a bit of an expert in the tea making arena. And I would say that I make a perfect cup of tea. Lots of people get hand me tea and it is like fucking tap. It's like shit water or drain water or something like that. It looks crap. They don't get the milk to tea ratio is where it's at. You get the milk right, you fucking, you know, you get top marks from me. I should be on one of those MasterChef programs, you know, when you get the judges at the end, people bringing out the cups of tea to me and I'll say, I can tell which one is the shit one and which one's right. You put the water in, tea bag in first, then the water, then the milk, but you've got to get the milk ratio right, medium. Right, that's it, that's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to leave it there. I don't know where this guy's going with his fucking, he's trying to be a bit Esten Blumenthal with it all, I think. Trying to be a bit like gastro tea. It would be gastro tea if you didn't boil the water properly. You'd probably fucking give you gastroenteritis or something like that. Anyway, I'm going to leave you there. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Do another one tomorrow. See you later.